Section 4. You will hear a speaker talking about researching using the Internet. First, you will have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
These days, when most people are looking for an answer to a question, the first place they go is the Internet. In academic circles, this has also become increasingly true, with Internet research becoming the prime location for finding information, with many published materials now only being available online. Although there are clearly benefits to this, in that the Internet can deliver results quickly and, in many cases, from the comfort of your own home, there are also a number of pitfalls that you need to be aware of. To begin, it is worth considering how information may end up on the Internet in the first place. These days, even young children have the ability to create simple web pages which they can choose to fill with any information they deem fit. Add to that an understanding of how many search engines work, and you are left with the potential for completely erroneous information to be indexed and found by the researching surfer. The process of peer review that traditionally kept poor information from being acknowledged is considerably more limited on the Internet. A good example of this is the popular website Wikipedia. Claiming to be an online encyclopedia and built by the contributions of the Internet surfing public, this site has a reputation for incorrect content and unsubstantiated commentary, so much so that the founder of the site is now considering preventing users from editing the sources. In order to use the Internet as a credible research tool, there is a basic checklist that can help you decide whether the information has value or not. This is commonly known as the CARS checklist, with the acronym standing for credibility, accuracy, reasonableness, and support. Let's consider first of all credibility. Is it clear which person, company, or organization is responsible for the information on the site? Is there a link to a page describing what the company or organization does and the people who are involved? This must be more than a simple email address. It needs to be a physical location. Also, can the expertise of the author be verified? Are the writer's qualifications clearly stated somewhere on the site? So, if the content you are looking at passes the first critical analysis, you will then want to try to determine the accuracy of the information you are being presented with. Again, asking yourself a series of questions can help you decide. Are there many grammatical and spelling errors? A notable number of errors could indicate that the content is not credible. How long ago was the page updated? Often there is a date modified stamp somewhere on the page, commonly at the bottom, in the footer of the page. If you are satisfied with the credibility and accuracy of the material, you will then need to consider the reasonableness of the page you are viewing. Is the information presented neutrally, or is the writing attempting to sell something, a point of view or a personal bias, for example? Check that the writing appears fair and balanced, and that it does not slant unfairly towards a particular direction. Angry or overly critical tones suggest that the information is not a suitable reference for academic work. Ideally, what you're looking for is a calm, reasoned tone, arguing or presenting material thoughtfully and without being overly emotional. It's also good practice to check that the website address, the section that begins with www, is appropriate to the content. For example, if you were researching the environmental impact of vehicle pollution, you would not expect a balanced point of view from a car manufacturer's website. A final point with regards motivation is looking at the advertising that may be on the site. Some advertising, clearly separated from the content of the page, is acceptable, but if content and advertisements almost seem to merge with one another, it might be time to reconsider the source. Finally comes support. Are all factual claims clearly substantiated? That is, are there cited sources? Is there a bibliography or similar documentation? Can it be corroborated on other sites? It is worth keeping in mind that most information, if it is factually accurate, can be found in other sources. It is generally accepted that finding the same information in three separate sites, assuming they have all passed the previous three tests, is sufficient support to be credible. Following these basic steps can certainly help you steer clear of some of the worst websites. But while it may still be difficult to universally determine what aspects to look for in a good or bad source, there are several sorts of websites that can be useful source materials for the researcher. Many museums, for example, have websites, either describing their collections in general or showing a detailed gallery of their collections. Another excellent feature of such sites is that information can be verified or additional information can be sought by contacting the museum via the email addresses commonly present on such websites. Another good source for reliable information can be online art galleries. Although the pictures in online art galleries are often simply scanned from art books, many of these websites can be useful for viewing pictures, often in larger sizes or better detail than available in some print resources, as well as getting general information about the artists, such as their biography or background to the environment in which they lived. And perhaps the final piece of advice that I can offer about research in the internet is simply to use common sense. Some pieces of work may pass the CARS test, but still leave you with some sense of disquiet. If that's the case, it's much better to leave it and move on.
That is the end of the listening test. In the real IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet.